Hello and welcome to the St. Francis Sunday Sermon Podcast for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Our sermon this week comes to us from the Reverend Beth Sherman, and we hear Psalm 23, "And the King of Love, My Shepherd Is," from the St. Francis Choir. Have a blessed week, my friends.
Christian church as well. Saint Benedict, in his one of his rules was this: every day, remind yourself that you are going to die. So I know that, you know, many of you know that I was a hospice chaplain, but I was a hospice chaplain about 20 years ago. So I was much, much younger. I think I was like in my mid to late 30s when I was working with people that were dying. And my experience then was that I might be visiting people middle-aged or much older or younger than I was. And that was a sobering thing for me, to work with someone who was my age or way younger, who was preparing for their death. It cultivated in me a sense of the fragility of life, of the recognition that even though, you know, we think we're all going to be long-lived, in fact, many people meet the end of their lives way sooner than we would think. And so it was a reckoning. It was a real experience for me to think about how we never know what can happen. So the first thing I want to say to you all, given all of that, is, you know, the old Girl Scout motto, be prepared. You need to be prepared for death. I don't care how old you are. You need to be prepared. And what does it mean to be prepared? Well, let me tell you this. My dad was in his, he was 86 when he had a stroke. And he had a will in place, which was good. But he did not have a do not resuscitate. He didn't have the living will, you know, which gives you all those parameters in the hospital or, you know, if something happens. And so he was in the hospital, and then he was released to go to a rehabilitation center, and then he developed pneumonia, and he was rehospitalized and put on a respirator. And at that point, we still thought that maybe he would, you know, pull through. They called me and my mom to his bedside. And at this point, I was living in Rhode Island, so between my sister in England, my brother in Florida, and me in Rhode Island, we would make sure that one of us was there with my mom. So it was a lot of travel back and forth for a couple of months. But because he did not have a DNR in place, my mom and I had to stand at his bedside before they took the respirator out and ask all of those questions in that moment in which the respirator was coming out. And I want to tell you, if you ever have a wake-up call, it's in a situation like that. My mom then, as you know, moved in with me about 6 months later, and I want to tell you, the very first thing we did was we went to the lawyer, and we both had our wills done, and we both had appointed durable powers of attorney. If you have not done this, and let me say it again, it doesn't matter how old you are. I was 40 when I did it. If you do not have this in place, you must do it. You do it for your own sake. You do it for your family so that they're not left not knowing. And or if you're like me and you're single, you do it also for your extended family and friends so that they know what you want and what you need. So what is that? It's your will. It's your durable power of attorney, and it's even your funeral plans, because believe me, if you're bereaved, having to sort through details and not knowing exactly what the person wanted is very difficult. And isn't our goal to kind of ease that time for those we love? On your way out, you will see a document called Five Wishes. And that is a kind of an outline of ways to think about all of these questions. So We only have, I think, 25. If we run out, let's create a list, and I can get more of them. But please take one if you would like to. It's kind of ironic that I'm talking about this because I think the readings in some ways kind of coalesce with these ideas in a nice way. That second reading in particular talks about the strength of love we experience in Jesus. And we experience, I think, that love most dramatically in community. What we hear is, lay down your lives for one another. Now, obviously, literally, I'm not going to lay my life down for Wendy or for Diane. I love you all, but I'm not. So how do we understand what it means to lay down our lives? Well, I think that one of the ways is that in recognition that we are fellow pilgrims together, that we walk with each other, right? We walk the path with one another. And that doesn't just mean walking in the good times, but it means walking when someone has lost someone they love, walking with them when they've received a diagnosis, or someone they love has received a terrible diagnosis. It means walking with as someone is dying. And I know that, you know, we live in a culture where we don't want to think about death, we don't want to talk about death, we feel like we don't know what to say in the face of death. What I would say to that is hooey, you know, it's hooey. Because I know this from my own experience, when someone is dying, they don't need your words. They need your presence, your compassionate, loving presence. And so we walk together in grief, we walk together in love, we walk together in transition as someone who's transitioning. And we do it because I believe that is one of the ways that we lay down our lives for one another. And finally, I just want to say this, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If that's not blessed assurance, I don't know what is, because it's the reminder that there is nowhere that we can go where God is not with us. You know, nothing can separate us from God's love, and death certainly does not. Again, when I was a hospice chaplain, I had a woman who was in her 90s who lived in the nursing home who requested, I mean, chaplains didn't just show up. You had to request spiritual care. So this was someone that asked for a chaplain, and I got to know her over a few months. And what I discovered was she was terrified to die. And what I discovered was she was terrified to die because she didn't really have any spiritual tradition, one that would support her as she faced that fear, but also that had any kind of theology around what happens after you die. What we all share and stand upon is this belief that I think we know in our heads, and God willing, we know in our hearts and in every fiber of our being, that we cannot be separated from God by anything, and that when we pass over into the next life, that in fact what it means is greater union with this one whom we have followed and loved and been loved. that once you cross over, that you continue to grow in the knowledge of God's love. How beautiful is that? It's like death is not the end of the story, but it's a gateway to something that is rich and deep and beautiful. So, be prepared, please, and for your sake, for your own spiritual deepening, and for your family, and we'll put something in the box that has a bunch of links for people as well, but be prepared. Second, we walk together, and we help each other along the way. Third, we are never separated from God's love, ever. Amen.